There are many lessons that we learn from the gospel we've just read. But I think especially the danger of hypocrisy, the temptation to envy, and to live our spiritual life interiorly. Hypocrisy. Jesus healed the woman on the Sabbath. The real reason why the chief of the synagogue protested against Christ healing on the Sabbath was not his great concern for the observance of the Sabbath, but not just the chief of the synagogue, but the priests, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees envied what Jesus was doing. Hypocrisy is pretending to be what you're not. All of us, beginning with a speaker, though we dread applying the word to ourselves, should ask ourselves, how honest is my life? How often do I give in to hypocrisy, pretending to be what I really am not? Second, the underlying sin of Christ's enemies was that they envied him. Christ would have not hundreds, but thousands follow him, hanging on every word that he spoke. On occasion, we know, when days without food, listening to Jesus speaking. By any standard, that is success. The infallible formula for being envied is to succeed. Nobody envies a failure. Christ was very successful. I believe in our relationship with other people, and again I begin with myself, we've got to constantly watch our envy. Someone does what we cannot do. Someone succeeds where we have failed. And would you believe it? We can envy either, even other people's virtue. Envy is the sadness we feel where someone else does or has what we do not do, or where we have failed. Finally, Jesus made clear that God is served internally. The Pharisees were sticklers for the observance of the law. We must, of course, serve God with our bodies. But we are really serving him with our wills, with our hearts, internally. And here I would recommend to all of us, frequently, not just occasionally, during the day, think, what am I doing and why am I doing it? I mean it. During the day, make aspirations to our Lord. After a while, we can become so mechanical, so almost automatic in what we're doing, that we don't think of why we're doing it. If it's something pleasant, thank God. If it's something unpleasant, thank God. The interior life is lived interiorly. Think of God. Think of Mary. Think of our guardian angel, of our patron saint. Live interiorly in contact with that invisible world where life is really lived. Lord Jesus, we thank you for teaching us the danger of hypocrisy, the danger of envy, and the absolute need of living interiorly in union with you, the invisible God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
They were burned to the stake. They were crucified and beheaded. And the persecution has been going on ever since until today. I spoke last Sunday outside of Pittsburgh at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Lebanon. What's going on in the Lebanon today is persecution. Hundreds of thousands of our fellow Catholics are being killed. As I think I mentioned before, in the Sudan alone, in our century, 2 million Catholics were starved to death because they refused to become Muslims. Well, the growth of the church is not only due to persecution from the outside. This needs to be said. It is due to the infidelity, the betrayal from inside. And the key to the growth of the church is patient endurance. When Christ told us at the Last Supper that the vine branches will be pruned, what he told us, what they have done to the master, they will do to the servants. I like our Holy Father's statement. The normal condition of the church is persecution. The key is to remain absolutely faithful, no matter what the price may be, in following Christ, which for us on earth means especially following the vicar of Christ. Ordinary bishops will not survive, not today. Ordinary priests will not survive, not today. Ordinary religious will not survive today. Ordinary faithful will not survive today. It takes the heroism of martyrs. We are living in the, capital T-H-E. We are living in the age of martyrs. Please God, we will provide for the church's growth by, if it is God's great privilege, that we might die a martyr's death, but we better all decide to live a martyr's life today. Lord Jesus, your church has grown. It is growing, but only at the price of patient endurance in our loyalty to you, no matter what it costs us, even, dear Jesus, the price of our life's blood. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The love of God. Spiritual exercises. And the 30th day is on
the love of God.
The love of God. Okay. Well, it couldn't be a better subject. Now, just for the record, the crowning meditation of the spiritual exercises is on the contemplation for obtaining the love of God. In one sense, everything during the retreat is a build-up to its climax, namely, the love of God. And as we know, the expression love of God may mean either God's love for us or ours for Him. Well, the theme, which is a cluster of meditations, and let's call it growth in the love of God, has as its base God's love for us. Only the lovable can be loved. And the more lovable, the more that person can be loved. Now, objectively, God's love is infinite. But subjectively, we must become aware of God's love for us. And all the spiritual life is, we shall love God more as we become more aware of and more deeply realize God's love for us. And that is the substratum of this crowning meditation of the spiritual exercises. To make ourselves more conscious mentally and more responsive volitionally to the objectively infinite love of God for us. Whether we realize it or not, whether we believe it or not, God loves us. There is a sequence in hierarchical order in Ignatius' analysis of what he calls the contemplation for obtaining the love of God, which might better be worded, contemplation for obtaining love for God. And that hierarchy is based on the degree of God's love for us, as you may see quantitatively, and the measure of God's love for us intensively. And we begin by reflecting on God's love for us in creating us. Except for God's love, we wouldn't be here. And it also is worth stressing that God's love for us on His part is a voluntary love. It is free. It is not something which He had to exercise. Indeed, among the heresies, pious heresies, but heresies no less, is the claim that God was constrained by His love for us. Not so. The divine will is indeed, as we must say, a necessary will within the Holy Trinity. The Father, humanly speaking, we may say, has no choice but to generate the Son. And from the eternal love of Father and Son, there must proceed the Holy Spirit. No option there. But outside of God, to use our human language, outside of God, all the love He exercises is voluntarily, is free. It need not have been exercised. The world need not exist. And while the world is, the word is technical, but it is very basic in the spiritual life. The world, and including ourselves in the world, are contingent beings. And a more sobering adjective is, we are unnecessary beings. So on the primary level of God's love for us, He must realize it is a love that need not have been exercised. That's one principle. The other principle is this, that we grow in our love for God as we are grateful for what God has done and is doing for us, beginning with bringing us out of nothing into existence, all the way up the gamut of being, making us rational human beings. We could be the wood in this table, or the metal in this microphone. We could be the air we breathe. The world need not exist. We wouldn't be here. And what also is worth stressing whether we believe it or not, well, the theme, which is a cluster of meditations, and let's call it growth in the love of God, has as its base God's love for us. And as we know, the expression love of God may mean either God's love for us or ours for Him. Well, the theme, which is a cluster of just for the record. Well, it couldn't be a better subject. And the 30th day is on?
The love of God.
The love of God. Okay. Well,